Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Well, good evening, Refuge Family. How are you guys doing tonight? Good. Awesome. I'm so excited to get to be here with you guys to share as we're starting or continuing the series in the book of Psalms. And we're going to be turning to chapter 8 tonight. So if you have your Bibles or if you have an electronic device and you want to turn there, be sure to do so at this time. So I want to start out tonight with asking you guys a question, something that I just on my mind as I was studying through this, as God was just ministering to my heart, and I wanted to ask you guys before diving in, and that is the following. What is, and you can go ahead and just answer one at a time, but what is the one or one of the most valuable things that you own? What is one of the most valuable things that you own? Can someone please let me know? I see, is that a Bible? Yes, a Bible for sure. That's great. What else? What else do we have?
Life.
Life. Awesome. Very valuable. What else do we got? Family. Children. Okay. How about in terms of maybe possession? Think of something that you really take care of. You hold dear. You don't want anything to happen. Should there be a fire that breaks out in your home and you're like, I'm going to take this one item, what would that be? 16-year-old cat. That is very impressive. Now, does that translate to something else, like with dog years, or is it just 16 years?
I don't even know. I think
it's 70 or 80. 70 or 80. Wow. Hopefully he has a good retirement plan. All right. What else do we have? What else? What's like a possession? What's something?
Laptop.
Laptop, for sure. That's definitely one of those items. What was it?
Photos,
definitely photos to bring back to a certain memory, a time, a video maybe, absolutely. Well, the psalm that we're gonna talk about is written by David. It centers around the theme that the greatness of God assures the worth of mankind. God, the all-powerful creator, cares for his most valuable creation. Does anybody know what the most valuable creation is? Us, people, exactly. We all have things that we consider to be extremely valuable. Whether it is a sentimental memory or something we've kept over the years, we can all think of a thing in our lives that we cherish and we value. Here are some examples of some prized possessions that people have held onto over the years. This is a hand-me-down mitt, a baseball mitt. Yeah. Pretty much the person that's speaking right now, Diana, grew up playing softball with this glove, which was given to her by her father, and today her son uses it. So that's something that you may look at and think, well, what's the big deal? Just go get another one at Big Five, right? Or at a sports supply place. But this is very important. She cherishes it. She values it. There's a sentiment behind it. Next thing, a passport. To Whitney, this symbolizes freedom, that she can go virtually anywhere with this. Without it, she is trapped. And that's so true. With the passport, she's able to go to other countries, visit other places. And without it, she wouldn't be able to do so. So she cherishes it. She values it. This is a Smina 8 camera. Pretty much, Dad got this for his 7th birthday. He's used it at least for 8 years. Some of the best moments of his life were captured using this camera, and he loves the sound that the shutter makes. So you may be thinking, that camera, like the pictures, the quality might not be that great. I don't know how many megapixels that would be, but maybe you know you want to update. But to him, this is valuable. He cherishes this. This is very important. There's a significance behind it. Here's a bass guitar. This one's really cool. There was a gentleman that he used his very first paycheck to purchase it. He was forming a band with his friend who sadly passed away, and he's kept it to remind him of the dreams that they all had and for the friend that was lost. So I thought that was pretty cool, pretty neat to have an instrument like that, something they cherish. Here, again, a picture of a mom. If I were to lose everything else I possess, I would want to keep the visual memory of my mother. Everything else could eventually be replaced, but I don't want to forget the face of the one who raised me to be who I am today. And this is Lauren. So to her, this picture, very valuable. She cherishes it. This one I thought was pretty funny. Some of you guys may know what this is. Hopefully you haven't had to use one in your lifetime. But if you did, or we'll talk later. My brass knuckles, these were given to me by an old friend because I was robbed quite a few times when I was taking the subway late at night. Having these on gives me the confidence that I can do as much damage, if not more, to my attacker. I've never actually used them on anyone, but it's good to know that they are with me if I ever need to defend myself. And of course, they're from Brooklyn, New York. Where else, right? So they're very valuable. Next, grandfather's poem. This notebook belonged to a grandfather in the early 1960s. He used it to write his own poetry and also write other people's poems, which he liked. So he never got the chance to really meet him, but reading this gave him just an idea of his grandpa's personality, of who he was, his demeanor, his character. And so to others, they're like, oh yeah, that looks like some just scribbling. But to him, it's very important, these poems. He values it, cherishes it. Moving on to the next thing, my late father's watch. My father left me this watch, which was given by his mother. And this watch has traveled with this person from Switzerland to Canada and to the Ukraine. So this watch, no matter what goes down, like, he is holding on to it. Very valuable. He cherishes it a lot. This one I thought was interesting because I look at it and I'm like, a Rubik's Cube? Like, what is the big deal about a Rubik's Cube? But I didn't have many toys growing up because my family couldn't afford them. My mother bought me this when I was 10 years old, 11 years on age 21, and still not that good at it, but rather I go or bring it with me in my bag, it makes me feel happy. And this is from Sly. It's interesting because those things, how many of you have ever tried, are you good with solving the Rubik's Cube? Just show of hands. No? Okay, I would always cheat and like peel the stickers. Did you guys ever do that? And like you guys lie, I'm like, hey, I did it. And then it's all peeling off. I had a professor actually who was really good at just knocking these out of the park in less than 60 seconds. But to others, this may be like, man, that's not that valuable. That's not that important. You can buy another Rubik's Cube. But to this person, it has a lot. It's something they value, that they cherish. I put this one up there because, as we talked about earlier, I think we can relate to how valuable all the things that are in here can be to us. Number one, phone. For some of you guys, this may be your only access to the internet, maybe your only access to communication with other friends. Money, obviously, if you want to purchase things, buy things, food, whatever it may be, it's valuable. If you have credit cards, whether to open one or not, totally up to you. I'm not saying one way or the other, but definitely valuable and something that people aspire to. There's different classes, different things like that, and it's things that are very, very valuable. So my point is, guys, is all the things mentioned, as well as others that you may have in your mind that maybe weren't discussed, are things that we cherish and value. You dread the thought of possibly losing them or letting them go. Now, what if I told you that God values you far beyond the most cherished thing you hold dear? What if I told you that despite the shortcomings, failures, and continued disobedience that we demonstrate from time to time, it never changes the level of value that God has placed on us? In the Psalms that we are about to read, David recognizes his worth and the value that God has for his creation. Let's go ahead and read, starting with verse 1 in chapter 8. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for this time. God, I thank you that we can open up your word. Lord, that we can read something that maybe we completely grasp from the beginning, or we need to work at, or it takes time for you to just press things on our heart. Whatever it may be, Lord, I just thank you that we have this opportunity to have access to your word, that we can come to a place like this. like this Refuge Cafe with fellow believers, maybe those that are just checking this place out for the first time, and we can be transparent and open and honest. Father, I pray that tonight's message, you would just go before me, that you would silence any words that are not necessary or anything that's added, Lord. That would just simply be your word, your message to your people. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the value that you've placed in us and just how great you are, Lord. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people say,
amen.
Amen. All right. So the first thing we need to understand in this passage is that Jesus Christ is the only one that perfectly reflects God's image. There's nothing else that comes even remotely close to depicting God's perfect character. How do I know this? Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 22 says the following, and this is talking about Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Through Jesus being crucified and shedding innocent blood, we have been reconciled before God. We can present ourselves blameless before God and accept his forgiveness. No wonder that David starts off chapter 8 by stating how excellent the Lord's name is in all the earth. We need to remember that it is only Jesus that reflects God's image perfectly, and we need to trust and praise God regardless of whatever stage in life we may find ourselves. In verse 2, he reflects how out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, God has ordained strength. This illustrates an important characteristic that is evidently depicted in infants. Children are able to trust and praise God without doubt and without reservations. It seems as though trusting God can be more of a difficult task to accomplish as we grow older. Why is that? Because as we grow up, we enter into a realization that each stage of life has a level of responsibility that we must adhere to. For example, and this is just a generalization of what we face, and I understand that for some of us, at different times in our lives, we can face different things in a different age group, and it might not look like this, and that's okay. But this is kind of what I want to illustrate with you guys in terms of that those stages of life. So everybody walk through with me. We start off with a baby, right? Everyone see that? Just a baby, infant. And what about this baby? So this baby is completely dependent, not independent. They are completely dependent on those that are providing the care, whether it be parents, whether it be a caregiver, whoever it may be. They are just fully dependent. They're not stressed. They're not filled with anxiety. They're not thinking of, oh, should I trust? Should I not trust? They just trust, or over time, not trust. But for the most part, they say, hey, I'm going to be constant in just trusting what's in front of me. Then we move on to a toddler, right? Maybe at this time, you're now learning, they're being potty trained, they're eating more solid food, still very trusting for the most part. But then we move on to a teen, kind of like a little bit more getting older, a kid slash teen. And you experience or start to experience a sense of pride and accomplishments. Maybe you start dressing yourself, you're making friends, there's school awards that are being given, you participate in sports and you're working as a team, you're discovering your likes and your dislikes, you're adhering or abstaining from certain pressures. And this is what you face as a kid or teen. And then you move up to what's a young adult, or even an adult in that, and kind of in the middle of it. And as a young adult, you face things like job, education, dating, family, friends. You discover that maybe certain family members that you thought were super nice, maybe weren't so nice after all when you grew up. You're like, hey, you didn't talk to me like that when I was little, or whatever the case may be. But you see these things. You begin to see the difference as when you were younger and getting older. When you're an adult, maybe things are changing where your relationship status looks a little bit different. Maybe you're enjoying seasons of singleness, which is not a bad thing whatsoever. Maybe now you're going into marriage or have been in a marriage. Maybe there's family, career, ministry. And at this point, you've probably experienced a fair share of hurt and disappointment. And then you move on to the older gentleman, which I'll just say older adult, and you begin to maybe think, okay, so where am I at? Maybe you're beginning to think ministry, your role at the church, retirement, but all along with dealing with the physical limitations that you're experiencing. Maybe your back, bones, things start to ache, things just don't work as they did when you were a kid, and you begin to notice those things. And so you begin to look to God, and you begin to ask for Him to help you. Maybe you're grieving through the loss of now loved ones and friends that you had at this stage, like, whoa, they're no longer with me. They're no longer walking in this life. They've gone to be with Jesus. And so a trust begins to develop. And the reason that I share these stages with you guys is because we all have to go through it at some point. We might experience these events at different times, but it is crucial for us to know that regardless of the stage of life that you are in, we need to pray for God to restore in us childlike faith, a trust and dependency on Him, trusting Him just as an infant trusts his parents or care provider. Matthew 18, 2 through 4 says, "Then Jesus called a little child to Him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" We must have an absolute dependence on God. Much like that baby or nursing infant, we need to be fully dependent on Him. Though we may experience tremendous trials that make us feel like we are not worthy, God will demonstrate time and time again how truly valuable we are to Him. Let us know our worth by respecting God's majesty through humility. To respect God's majesty, we must compare ourselves to His greatness. When was the last time that you looked at creation and felt so small by comparison? You think of the things of how there's almost 7 billion people in this world. You look at the mountains and the oceans, the moon and the stars that God ordained, and it can all make us feel so very small. Even with gaining huge popularity or success, we must recognize that God is the creator and we are His creation. Sometimes we can think in our heads that we are these larger-than-life people, very successful human beings, accomplished individuals, and maybe even celebrities in particular. A lot of the times can have this God complex. They think that because they've achieved such a large platform and accumulated a substantial amount of success that they are like miniature gods themselves. We should be mindful not to fool ourselves into this prideful and arrogant way of thinking. Nevertheless, it is extremely important to note that humility means a proper respect for God, but not self-deprecation. What is self-deprecation? It is the act of reprimanding oneself by belittling or undervaluing or disparaging yourself. You compare yourself to others and fill your mind with thoughts of feeling worthless and not valued, which is contrary to the way that God views you. It is contrary to the way God views us. To be honest, I've personally dealt with this from time to time, this way of thinking. You know, I used to know a brother back from an old church that I used to attend, great guy, loved the Lord with all his heart, but he would frequently mention in his prayers how he was nothing, Like he would literally just in a group prayer be like, Lord, I am nothing. Despite being a hardworking man, educated, extremely talented, and a great provider, husband, and father, he would just in his prayer say, Lord, I'm just trash. Just straight up, like I'm trash. And it would sometimes strike a chord. And looking back now, I think, well, maybe he was just trying to avoid being prideful, to not go down that route. However, it did bring up a few questions in my mind. Although I understand the importance of recognizing that we are all sinners saved by grace, it is also equally, if not more important, to realize that we are indeed saved by grace. We are worthy and not worthless because of Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. If we only focus on how low we are, we could potentially rob ourselves of the joy of knowing how valued we are by God. You'll begin to question and second guess every little thing God places before you. You'll shy away from opportunities presented because you'll always think, I am not worthy. Know your worth. If the world can hold a standard of saying, I am worth more than this. I am worth this type of friendship. I am worth this type of living condition. I am worthy of this type of fill in the blank. Then why can't we see ourselves through God's eyes? If you are currently facing a time of feeling less than adequate or like you are worthless because maybe you haven't accomplished all that you have envisioned thus far, meditate on knowing that each of us bear the stamp of the Creator, and to Him we are highly, highly valuable. If others tear you down or highlight all your shortcomings and point out your flaws and all your failures, rest in knowing that you were created in the image of God. Know your worth. The Bible proves this worth in Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. We have been created in the image of the Creator God. How dare we discredit or say that we are not capable or worthy when we are created in His image? Back to Psalms 8, it says here in verse 8, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Back to verse 5. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. This sounds like God has given us a lot of authority to be in charge of the whole earth, pretty much. But with this great authority comes an even greater responsibility. We must use our resources wisely because God holds us accountable for our stewardship, meaning the way that we manage things that He has entrusted us with plays a huge, vital role. Knowing now how highly valuable you are to God, move forward in praising Him, acknowledging how excellent He is, knowing your worth. Recognize it is only Jesus that perfectly reflects God's image. Trust in Him like a child who has faith, and through any circumstance, reaffirm to yourself that you have the Creator stamp. It has been placed in your life, and be responsible with what He has entrusted you with. It is my prayer and my hope that we will be set free from the feelings of worthlessness, because Christ has made us worthy. At this time, I want to go ahead and close just a little bit early because I want to do something that the Lord put on my heart where I would like everyone, just if you're at a table, we're going to just break off into groups and have a moment of prayer. And I want to encourage you that as we were talking earlier with Isaac, refuge is a place where it's a place, it's a person, it's a people. So we are not here to criticize, to judge. It is not our place to shut anybody down in any way. We are simply following Jesus together. And so I encourage you that if you right now are going through a time where you feel like, man, I'm constantly battling this whole thing of feeling worthless, feeling like I am not worthy, feeling like maybe I'm called to something, but I'm not qualified for it. Tell you what, nobody's qualified for it. It is only by the grace of Jesus, only by his blood. He's the true representation of perfection that we are able to come before God and be blameless. You are worthy. You are created in the image of the Almighty Creator, of Almighty Powerful God. Everything you see out there, from the mountains to the oceans, everything, you are created in His image. So we can move forward in that. We can know our worth, place our value in that. Know that He cherishes you, that no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've messed up, whatever it is that you're facing or dealing with, He cherishes you. He has such a high value for your life. You are His most precious creation. Don't let the enemy or another thought rob you or make you second guess that. His word says that you are created in His image. We are worthy because of Him. He has made us worthy, and we can move forward in that boldness. So as we break off into prayer groups, if you want to confess that and just ask for prayer, if you're dealing with that, awesome, you can do that and pray for one another. But maybe if you're just like, Lord, give me that childlike faith. Lord, help me through whatever circumstance to be dependent on you, to cling on to you, then I encourage you to pray in that way. I'm going to give you guys just 5 minutes to do that, and then I'll close us off with a prayer, and then we'll call it a night. But go ahead and take this time, and let's just spend it in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you that in a study like this, God, you can hear your people's voice, God. It's just so encouraging to know that we can be so honest, so upfront. And God, how you accept us, how you love us, how you cherish us, you value us, God. And we just thank you, Lord. And I pray that we would just be people that want to draw closer to you, not out of ritual, not out of habit, not because it's the right thing to do, Lord, but that we would truly have a yearning and desire to draw closer to you. God, you are so good. We see your mark in all creation. We know that you've stamped us. We know that we've been created in your image. And so I pray that we would move forward with that, God, that we would cling tight to you, God. Lord, I pray for the individuals that are here, whether they're struggling with that or not, God, that you would protect them. Everybody that's here, Lord, that you would just be with them in their jobs, at home, with their family, friends, church, wherever they may be. May they know that it's not just here, God, but at any moment they can have access to talk to you. And it's through your son, Jesus, that we have that liberty. So God, again, I thank you. Pray that you go before everyone this night. We worship you. We love you. And we ask all this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds. This is the day that life